We had now asked this son's wife to move into our house and work with us. The son had worked with us, and we wanted to give her this opportunity to earn money. But she did not agree, she did not like the rural life at all. So she refused and did not come to our house. There were also disagreements about the inheritance, which we should have paid her. So we lived in discord with our daughter's wife, so to speak. I would have liked to take the child into my house, but she did not want to entrust it to us and moved with it to the city. Well, I did not live very long after the time when our son had an accident, and so I had to pass over to the other world. I had grown old and very ill recently. When I arrived in the other world, my parents greeted me and my son was there too. He held out his hands to me and could only say these words, "If you can, look after my child." So this grandchild, yes, I would have loved to have him at home with me. And then I thought, why doesn't he look after him himself? But the greeting didn't last long and he had to leave again. It seemed as if he was in a hurry and had little time to greet me. My parents didn't say much either. They just said, "We'll find time to talk later. But we're going back to our chores now." I was actually amazed at how good my parents looked. I remembered them growing old and now they were young. So I hoped that they would take care of me or that I could stay in touch with them. But it wasn't like that. They had also left. And suddenly there was no one left to look after me. It seemed to me that everyone was in a hurry, because there was a lot of back and forth. Now I thought to myself, after all, I have to find my way too, and I studied my son's words. I would have loved to hear more from him than just the words, "Look after my child." I knew about the disagreements, and we had suspected at the time that this mother would not keep her child and would give it to someone else. My son had seen this and pointed it out to me. I had the feeling that he wasn't doing particularly well either, because we had had a lot of disagreements in the family. Now I could follow my thoughts, and I also observed others. I followed those who were in such a hurry and found that they were returning to Earth, to the place where they'd lived. I myself had the idea of AA taking care of what would happen to the house and farm, with everything that goes with it. I couldn't get rid of the thought of how everything would be managed without me. I had made my own plans about how they could do it without me. Then I tried to return to Earth, because there was no one who was particularly concerned about me or who would forbid me from doing anything. So I made my plans and thought, well, since I live here and can communicate here, perhaps I can do this when I return to my house. And that way I will probably be able to explain to my relatives how they should do it. I went to them and found that they were all at odds and arguing with each other. I tried to talk to them, I even banged my fists on the table, and I wanted them to hear me, to listen to me. But they didn't hear me, they didn't see me, I noticed that straight away. Then I thought, after all, I didn't see my parents back then and didn't hear anything from them, so that's just how it is. And I felt myself and realized that I had another body, which wasn't so physical, that I now had a spiritual body and couldn't make myself known to my family. But I always hoped that I might be able to exert some influence, and I followed behind my wife, my daughter and my other son and whispered to them how they should do it. But there was no talk of them feeling me or even having a thought about me. They didn't pray for me either, nothing. Only the business seemed important to them, and they asked about the value of the farm and so on. So I thought, I'll soon have nothing more to do here, I'll have no more say here. But I wanted to do what my son had told me, that I should look after the child. And I found the child. I visited his mother, the son's wife, and found that she had indeed given the child away. She had had to get a job and had given the child to a family somewhere to look after. Well, these people didn't seem bad to me, I even had the feeling that they loved this little child very much. But I had to look after this grandchild now. My son had recommended that I do that, and I really wanted to do that. So I stood with him as often as I could. But then I realized that I wasn't alone with this child. Beautiful, distinguished figures came. They were angels of God, and they spoke of the future of this little human being. I naturally stood aside, because I did not have a particularly good conscience. I did not want to push myself forward and thought that it would not have been of any use. But I soon noticed that they did not have the same time with this child. They came to him very often and spoke mainly with the guardian spirit who was to stay with the child. They gave this guardian spirit instructions. Sometimes they came without saying much, they just looked at the child and left again. They went down to this house and then up again, and nothing else happened. So it was my wish to be near the child. I wanted to protect this child, nothing bad should happen to it, now that it had fallen into the hands of strangers. Over time I dared to get closer and closer to this child and to this guardian spirit, and I also started talking to him. I said to him, "I am the grandfather of this child. And I wanted to caress this child too, wanted to take it in my arms." The guardian spirit had nothing against it, had no objections, he had only nodded at me in a friendly manner when I said to him, "I am the grandfather." I also explained to him, "You know, my son is here too, but I haven't seen him since we greeted him. He can't look after the child, so I want to do it, I'm his grandfather after all." The angel just nodded at me as if to say, "Yes, please, if you like. What would you like to do? If you want to come, if you want to do something for the child, you can be there." But I didn't have anything to do so far. The child was still so small. In the meantime, of course, I was interested in other things. But I never forgot my grandchild, I went to him diligently, during the day and also at night. When the child was sleeping, I could see that the angels of God were dealing with this little human spirit, talking to it, and also taking it away. At first I was afraid because I was afraid that the child might be dead and that they would now take its spirit away. But I soon realized that they kept bringing the spirit of this child back and uniting it with the earthly body. At first, all of this was strange to me, I had no idea what was going on. But then I also realized what a luminous bond emanated from this sleeping child to its little spirit body. Of course, I couldn't follow those who were carrying it away. So at first I waited anxiously to see if they would bring it back. And they kept bringing it back. But it was precisely when this child was sleeping that I had the feeling that I had to be with it to make sure that nothing really happened to it and that the spirit was brought back. But I didn't have to worry, it kept coming back. So I had gained confidence, I saw that everything was going well. The child was getting bigger and bigger, and so I wanted to offer it my help. I wanted to ensure that it could really only grow up in love and spare it from all unpleasantness. I was so happy with this child, it was my son's child. So I wanted to try to surround the foster parents who looked after the little one with love. I tried to whisper lovingly to those people. And these people, how should I put it, responded to my whisperings. It seemed to me as if they were hearing me. I hardly believe that they had actually heard my words, but I had the feeling that I could exert a certain influence on them. I always said to them, "The little one is a beautiful child, take care of it." I took care of all the details and whispered it to them. In this way I wanted to protect the child from any illness. It was raised in love, that became clear to me. But now I couldn't be next to this child all the time, and on the other hand I felt lonely. Now and then I got into conversation with someone else and asked what he was doing, but they only gave me superficial answers, and I had the feeling that the others, just like me, were not at home anywhere. And then one day I went into the mountains near where my farm was. So I made the effort to stay there and hike. Of course, I must stress that it was absolutely no effort for me to get to the highest mountain. It all happened so quickly, I imagined the path, and I was already moving along it. And so I had gone to an alpine pasture. There, on this alpine pasture, I actually saw an old acquaintance who had been collecting herbs. He was already an elderly person, but in good health. I knew from my life as a human being that he had taken these collected herbs to this and that farm and sold them there. I then thought about whether these herbs were really of any use, whether the drinks made from them really helped. But now I immediately realized that he had a companion, a companion from the other side. He always walked a few steps ahead and drew his attention to these herbs. Strangely enough, as if he could have seen this companion, he always followed him. The spiritual companion looked for these herbs for him, and he picked them, put them in a cloth, tied it together and went back home peacefully towards evening. But now I looked round further, because I was not alone, I could see that clearly. There were various beings there, like me, and they too were looking for herbs and collecting them. But they were not human, they were beings like me. And so I went up to them and asked them, "What do you do with these things?" "Only people need them, they drink tea made from them to get healthy. We don't need that, we don't drink tea here." They answered, "Oh, you are not yet informed about this, you do not yet know the value of these plants." "No, we do not need such plants," I said. "Oh yes, we do need them, and we need them very much," said a brother to me. I then wanted to know, "What do you do with them?" He said, "Come, if you are interested, you can come with me. Here it is not like among people, where you do not reveal secrets to others and are afraid that they might take your business away from you. Here, you do not do business. You can come with me. If you are not informed about this, I will try to do it." Yes, of course I would. I thought to myself, perhaps one day my grandchild could become ill and I could bring him these herbs and let them be of use to him. So I said to him, "You know, I have a grandchild that I have to look after, and I don't want it to get sick, I want it to get healthy and strong." Then the brother answered, "Exactly, you see, that's exactly why you absolutely have to come with me." Now we walked together for a while. Then I asked him to explain to me what power and purpose these herbs had and how he made them and used them. He said, "With your eyes you can still see the earthly product, you can see this grass and these herbs as they are there for people." Yes, of course I could see that. But he hadn't collected this earthly matter, but rather the spiritual part of it. Then he pointed this out to me, "You see, if a leaf is 5 centimeters tall, then its spiritual garment is 5 centimeters larger. This spiritual garment envelops the earthly leaf, it is the spiritual body. Every earthly leaf has a spiritual body, and I now take from this power from this spiritual body. And if I carry the product of this plant with me for a while, you will see that it is no longer in this subtle state, but has become powder. But I can also take the liquid from it, I can also have resin from it, or I can also extract water, spiritual water." Yes, that interested me, and I wanted to know what he needed all of that for. And he said to me, "Yes, you will see what I need it for. But it is not enough to just take these little leaves, these little plants. You know, we have the possibility of gathering even more powers. If in the spiritual realm where we are, you have the possibility of gaining access to those forests, to those meadows, then of course you have much greater possibilities of gaining power. In the interior of this realm are actually these rare, precious powers. But neither you nor I have access to them. There are forests there are large fields there, and you can get precious energy from them. But unfortunately we don't have access to them. So I wanted to know, how do you know that?" And he answered, "I was also told that, I know it from a very specific source, and now I might just have to wait until I have access to those forests, but then I will do nothing else than collect this precious energy. For now, however, I have no choice but to collect it here on Earth and to work where I belong, where I have the opportunity to wander through, and that is primarily the mountains of mankind, because there is also a plant kingdom there with spiritual bodies, and I take the energy from these spiritual bodies. But we also have the opportunity to visit their forests, where we can take spiritual energy from the trunks of the trees and also draw energy from very specific branches." Then he took a small container out of his pocket and showed me an oily mass in it. "You see, I pulled this out of the trees, it is from their spiritual power. In condensed form, it appears to people as resin that flows out of the tree. So many fluids also come out of the leaves, the fresh leaves. But you can't take it from every tree and every leaf, You have to know exactly what you're doing. Not everything is meant for the same thing. It takes a long time until you're informed about which juices you can put together, he said to me, as if he already had a great deal of knowledge about it. Well, he took me along, and I wanted to believe him that it was so. And so we visited these forests, and he showed me how he extracted the power from the tree and these leaves. It's not just the forest, we have tremendous possibilities, and yet I'm not satisfied, he said, as if he had to fulfill a very big task. He absolutely wanted to gain access to this better world, which he had said was still closed to him. But then we went together to a field of ears of corn and he said, look how wonderful it smells when the ears of corn are ripe, and how these red flowers smell in between, how wonderful this poppy is. You can also get a lot out of them. And he broke off some of these ears of corn and I noticed that a kind of liquid was coming out. He caught these rare drops again. He explained to me about the healing power of the field of ears of corn and the healing power of the earth itself. The earth is not permeated with healing powers everywhere, but especially where few people walk over it and where a lot of wind blows over it, where the earth is constantly being cleansed, so to speak. This earth also contains a miraculous power. He then explained to me how he extracts odic power from the earth. He placed the leaves he had taken on the ground, scratched them in, covered them with earth and let them absorb this spiritual power. Then he carefully took them out again, put them in a container and said, this one is also needed for a very special purpose. It is a completely different power, a completely different effect than when we take resin from trees or drops from leaves. Now it started to get interesting for me and I thought, now my grandchild can never get seriously ill, I always have the means to make him healthy. And finally I can also go back to the house, to my farm. And if my wife and my relatives are ill, I can also support them. That's what I thought as we walked along together. But then I stopped what I was doing again because I really wanted to visit my granddaughter again. I didn't know exactly how long I had been walking with my brother, I had no way of keeping track of time, there were no clocks, I didn't know what was today and tomorrow. It was simply a time that went neither forward nor backward, one always lived in the present. So to speak. Well, I said, now I want to visit my granddaughter. I asked my brother to come with me and said, take a look at my grandchild, see if she is ill or if an illness is approaching, then you could tell me in advance about your healing powers, your remedies. He said with great interest and importance, I will come and take a look. So we went together. But then, just at the moment when it seemed good to go to this little child, we noticed that a small group of angels were with the child and they were talking to the guardian spirit. I thought to myself, perhaps my brother can go to them now anyway. But he didn't go, he just said, we have to wait, we can't go now if the others are here. We have to wait until they're gone, then we'll go. He didn't say that he didn't dare go either, he just said that you have to wait, it would be better if the angels were gone. So we were patient. Because the angels' visits didn't last very long. And then we both approached the grandchild. The grandchild was no longer so small, it was running around the apartment and seemed to be quite healthy. But I was still worried, I really wanted this child to stay healthy, because my son had recommended it to me and I wanted to fulfill his wish. Then this brother next to me said, yes, I think it's healthy. But in any case it can't do any harm if we give it something too. He took out some of the leaves that he had put in the ground, which was so saturated with healing power, and put one of them in my grandchild's hair. And he said, you know, that will do him good, that will always protect the child from illness, and it will stay healthy and grow up beautifully. We'll leave it like that, and on our next visit we'll take this leaf out again, take it. But it will stay on the child's head for a while. Then he took some of the oil he had with him, rubbed it over his forehead and hands and explained, this child cannot get sick, it will be healthy and strong. I was also interested in what the brother was doing, and so it went on. We could also walk on the water and we could also draw healing power from the water. He also explained to me the vapors that rise from the water, how you can bathe your hands or even yourself in it and then you are filled with healing power. Then you should go as quickly as possible to someone who needs it, because you are still full of healing power. This healing power that clings to you will only slowly escape, and you can wrap another sick person in it. He had seen exactly how the beautiful beings from above had done this too. They had bent down over the water and turned in all directions so that they could be soaked in the healing power. They too had then gone to the others and passed on this healing power. Well, we were both doing this. And strangely enough, we felt quite good, because it was really something very pleasant to be able to be flowed through by this healing power in this pleasant mist that rose up from these waters. Then he said, "But you know, I have my people too. We can't always just go to your grandchild now. I also go to the hospitals, I also go to sick people, where they live, and they need it just as much, if not more, than your grandchild." It seemed to me that he was a little reluctant about me always wanting to go to my grandchild and for him to accompany me there. So he said, "Your grandchild is already healthy, and in good hands. Come with me now, devote yourself to the tasks that I am doing now, and visit the sick people too. And then there are other people who are not physically ill, but mentally and spiritually, they can be helped too. I have a wonderful remedy for them too." So I took a liking to this task and went with him. Sometimes we were here, sometimes there. He initiated me, as he said, into his secrets. And I also took pleasure in it and eagerly began to take out some of these juices and powers and to store them. We actually wanted to experience their effect, and so we went here and there to the sick and suffering, brought some of these ointments, oils and powers and also wanted to see whether it really helped. Sometimes we had to realize that we had brought the wrong thing, because you can't just assume that every power will bring healing for everything, but this has to be coordinated very precisely. So we had to let ourselves be taught by simply trying this power and then that. But then we also realized that you can't help everyone. Where we could see that the person in question had to die, it was almost pointless for us to help them in this way. All we could do was give them something that would take away their pain and make their condition more bearable. But usually it was like this, when we came to such seriously ill people, marked for death, we were sent away with the words that it was not our task to do anything here. Angels of God dealt with the marked, the terminally ill, higher beings looked after these people. We could not take on this work. Even if we saw someone here or there in great pain and would have liked to bring them something, we were turned away. We could not simply do what we wanted and go to anyone, because every person was surrounded by spirit beings. It was partly the higher beings who exercised their power, but sometimes it was also well-meaning siblings like us. If sick people were already being looked after by such siblings, then we simply sought out others. Well, over time I realized that there were limits to what we could do. I enjoyed this activity and suddenly had a great desire to support people, to help them and to protect them from illness. So we had the opportunity to support sick people in their recovery, and if nobody forbade us, we set to work very, very eagerly. But sometimes it was the case that the care of certain people was in the hands of the angels and there was nothing we could do. But there was also a lot of other work for us to do. We met many people who had to work hard and, they really needed spiritual and physical strengthening. Then we approached them. They didn't see or feel us, and we quickly touched their bodies with our practiced hands and gave them something that strengthened them and gave them some hope and courage again. So I continued this activity with my brother. I actually found it wonderful. It wasn't just a meaningless existence. But I did have the feeling that I wasn't in the right order, because we saw that angels of God were fulfilling their tasks here and there. And I also saw how they took care of brothers and sisters like me, that they talked to them, sometimes very energetically. Sometimes we saw wonderfully how much love and affection they had for them, how they explained the tasks to them full of love and repeated them over and over again. Then the desire to have such a relationship with a higher being grew stronger in me. But I just thought to myself, I am much too low, I am not worthy, and I did not dare. When we were once again looking for healing powers and had stuffed our bags full of medicinal herbs, I said, "It is really wonderful how God has taken care of everything. There are so many herbs here and there that can alleviate suffering and soothe pain, that give help and confidence. It is something wonderful." And then it dawned on me, I had never prayed. I had never really been aware that I was truly in the kingdom of God and that in this kingdom of souls one should pray and worship God. Then I said to this brother, "Wouldn't you also like us to change our activities a little, that we should devote ourselves to God, ask about God and pray to Him?" And he answered, "Yes, I was always so eager that it simply didn't occur to me." So he spoke just like me, "I always thought I was too low. They, these higher beings that we see there, wouldn't take care of us because we are simply not worthy of it. But we can also pray on our own, and we can praise and glorify God for His glory. We can also ask Him to forgive us for what we have done wrong in our lives. He can also send us higher angels who will accompany us and teach us better knowledge than what we have previously acquired and copied from others." So we came to an agreement and agreed on a kind of quiet time for each of us. We did it like this, before we started our work, whether it was to collect healing powers or to visit people, we both knelt down and begged God for His help. We praised God and thanked Him for the glory that He has given here and there, in this world and in the next. And when we went to people and wanted to help them here or there, we also prayed first that God would give us the right insight that we were doing the right thing, and that He would give us His help, just like He did with our other brothers and sisters. We then simply continued our work, but of course no one was looking after us. But then, when we went to a person who was sick and we noticed that an angel was already there to look after him, this angel called us over. At first we didn't dare. We were a bit shy and had never really had a conversation with a higher being. But then we pulled ourselves together and went over. We bowed to the angel and said, "Yes, can we do something?" Then the angel of God smiled at us and said, "Yes, here with this sick person you can really fulfill a task." And he explained to us in detail what we had to do. And he said that he could only be there temporarily, but he would explain to us exactly what we had to do. And he would check again later to see if everything was done correctly. We were extremely happy. Now we had an angel who was above us, who explained to us what we had to do and who took us seriously. So we didn't leave this sick person anymore. We wanted to stay with him until the angel came back, because we were afraid we might lose him. He wouldn't be able to see us anymore, and other people wouldn't care about us. So we stayed where we were with the sick person and fulfilled our task as it had been explained to us. Then the angel came back and asked us, "Wouldn't you like to continue in my service? Wouldn't you rather work with me than independently as you have done so far? Wouldn't you like to come with me?" We said yes. We had only been waiting to be able to work with an angel of God. Now he said, "From now on you can come with me, but I still have a lot to talk to you about." We were a little afraid, because everyone remembered the time of their earthly life when not everything had always gone smoothly. But the angel spoke to us, cheered us up and said that we didn't need to be afraid now, but that of course the two had to be sorted out, the sooner the better. But it would be a shame if we always chose our own work out of our own will. We then talked to him more closely and asked him, "What is going to happen to us now?" And I added, "You know, I can't leave my grandchild, I have to go to him from time to time. Can I still do that?" He answered, "No, you won't be able to go to your grandchild afterwards." I felt sorry for that and I became uncertain again and asked myself, "What should I do, what should I do?" Then the angel said, "You don't need to look after your grandchild, he will be looked after, I will take over the task for you. I will go to him from time to time and make sure that he stays healthy. And even if the little one gets this or that childhood illness, it doesn't matter. The child won't die because of it. You don't need to worry, you must now go about your other tasks. But I will always let you know about your grandchild, and I will also let you know about your house, what is happening with your family, and I will let you know about your son, who is also here." I was a little surprised. He knew that my son was here too, And he spoke about my family, actually he knew everything. How does he know everything? I thought to myself.